Hi, I'm Paul Johnson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Life Support.
When we go into church, even at our church, everybody looks so just well put together.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. and
which
and,
is partly the area.
Right, it's partly the area, but everybody but looks still, so well put together, right. And yeah. You know, and everybody kind of looks the same, right?
Yeah, that's 100% right.
Yeah. And sometimes when you get a person off the streets, they don't look like that.
Or even somebody that's just been through what you're describing.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that can be that could be a barrier for them to attend the church. But, you know, we know that even though they look so well put together, we know that we're all broken.
Phil Tyler spent years as an incarcerated individual and found himself on his knees in his prison cell. And that was the day he was transformed. His story and more. Welcome to another edition of Life Support.
Everything you do from then on is different.
One of the detectives, I think his name was
He was Derek. A golden boy.
All we can do right now is come
Extreme
together.
Extreme domestic violence, multiple rapes.
So good to have you on Life Support. What we do on this program is we love to tell stories of how Christ has redeemed the people that he loves, and he loves you, and I want you to be encouraged by what you hear today. We've got a great guest. Phil Tyler is here. He's the founder and director of Against the Odds Ministry. Phil, thanks for coming back. Really appreciate having you.
Well, I'm grateful to be here.
Tell me a little bit about Against the Odds Ministry and what you do there.
Against the Odds Ministries is a recovery community organization. We focus on helping people in addiction and people coming out of prison. We provide them with resources. Pretty soon we're going to have a discipleship home to help people with housing, because the housing, when people are coming out of prison, that's a barrier for people. And it's a good spot, I know, for myself going through housing support when I got out of prison. We do live streams on Facebook. That's where kind of the ministry started, was me sharing my testimony in 2020. Because we were all locked down. And what happens when a felon gets locked down? They get innovative, because I've been locked down before. It wasn't a big deal for me. So, but I seen a lot of division, and I seen a lot of hate, and I seen a lot of stuff on social media that, and the Lord put it on my heart to just start sharing hope on social media. So we do a lot on social media. We do some faith-based recovery meetings. We also will send you to give you resources for any kind of support meeting that you need, like Thrive for family support, AA, NA, the 12-step meetings, Celebrate Recovery. We do a lot with them. Life Recovery meetings. We just want to meet people where they're at Against the Odds Ministries, and provide them kind of with resources that they need to find their pathway of recovery that supports them.
Speaking as a person who hasn't been through that, and I'm really fortunate, I get to sit here and listen to stories and I'm learning about it. Why is it so hard to establish oneself when getting out of prison? What are the roadblocks that you run into?
There's a lot of roadblocks. I mean, depending on your crime, sometimes your crime can keep you from going to certain programs. So say a guy wants to go to a program, and this program doesn't take his or her type of crime. So, you know, there's that. There's the driver's license, the fines, because a lot of the times, I know when I was in custody for 3 years, I wrote the DMV because I had tons of fines and I couldn't get my license because of it. And I wrote the DMV and I was like, hey, I'm doing all this time. Will you take away the fines? And they're like, absolutely not. So when I got out, by the grace of God, I was able to pay my fines. But that's a barrier. And what it does is it keeps people from going to see their POs, keeps people from getting a job and actually being able to pay their fines. So that's a barrier. And then, sometimes people get put into the same environment that they need to get away from.
They drift back to what it was
they know
before.
Best.
Yeah.
We're creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us like to sit in our comfort zones. I was one of them, mm-hmm. right? It was like I wanted to go to what was comfortable for me. And sometimes going to like a house, a, 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 a you know, a halfway house getting out of prison was uncomfortable for me. So I didn't really want to do it. So, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we got to actually all the time, we got to get out of our comfort zone.
Well, in order to get anything like an apartment or a car, you have to have credit too, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. Credit.
Yep. That's gotta be a huge barrier.
It is. Me, I was blessed. I moved in with somebody, and then, you know, I was never on the lease. And then when I met my wife and we had an apartment, I was made sure that she didn't put me on the lease, and she's never even had a felony, right? I'm like, don't put me on a lease. Trust me. Trust me. We ain't going to get the apartment if you put me on the lease. But then we, you know, by the grace of God, bought a house, right? And then but yes, I had to work my credit up.
Yeah. So what you're doing is really important. And I also wanted to circle back on a comment you made when we were talking before. Is one of the things that you enjoy doing is helping people who won't step into a church. Mm. Why won't they step into a church?
I mean, there could be various reasons. I would think that a lot of people have resentments on the church. Some people have they've been church hurt. They've been hurt by someone that claimed to be a Christian, right? Someone that said they were a Christian, and they hurt them in some way, shape, or form, or they're super mad at God, and they just don't want to go into a church. And you know, that can definitely keep people away, and it holds resentments and unforgiveness. And you know, I looked at the opportunity on social media to be able to get the gospel out there and reach people like that. And that's a lot of people in recovery. You know, a lot of people can be, you know, church hurt and not want to enter a church, but they'll go to support group meetings and all this other stuff, but they don't like the God concept.
Well, here's a really hard question for you. So you can answer it any way you want. You told me before what church you go to, and it's a good church in a town here in Minnesota called Chaska. Mm-hmm. And I know the theology of that church, solid everything. But then you also pastor a group that meets in downtown St. Paul. So here's my question. A normal church in America, Grace, speaking of Twin Cities churches, the one we're in right now, Ridgewood, Westwood, all these churches, are we doing church in a way that is keeping non-believers away?
You know, it's hard to say that, but there's a, when we go into church, even at our church, everybody looks so just well put together.
Yeah.
You know, and
which is partly the area.
Right, it's partly the area, but everybody looks so well put together, you know, and everybody kind of looks the same, right?
Yeah, that's 100% right.
And sometimes when you get a person off the streets, they don't look like that.
Or even somebody that's just been through what you're describing.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that could be a barrier for them to attend the church. But, you know, we know that even though they look so well put together, we know that we're all broken.
Eah.
We all know that we need a savior, right? But the outs,
people don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of the church that meets in Frogtown, right? We do that once a month, and you know, we have people that, you know, come in from the streets, and you know, and that's a blessing to be able to do that. And what we do at that service is we share a testimony. Mm-hmm. Because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony can be so impactful, because what that can do is, you know, instead of someone preaching the word of God down your throat, that testimony, God will use that testimony to meet that person right where they're at. Like, I can relate with that.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Right.
Like, if God saved him, he can save me too.
Yep. Yeah, that's powerful. And one thing a church can do, if you're attending a church or pastoring a church in a suburban setting where everyone tends to be look the same, you can support churches like what you're describing in Frogtown. Mm-hmm. And you can plant churches, and you can hire pastors like you that know how to reach those. So you can get out of your geographic location, you can get out of your bubble, and you can plant and you can support other churches. And that's sometimes what you have to do, because when you're in a place like here in the Western Metro of the Twin Cities, it's very difficult to reach over the other side of the Twin Cities or whatever. But there are other opportunities to do that. So I'm really glad you're doing that.
Amen.
And testimony is really powerful because, you know, even what you're saying today, you can walk into a prison and you can talk to people and you have immediate attention, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have credibility right away.
Oh, right away.
If they looked at me, they'd probably beat me up.
I don't know about
that. But you, they're going to listen to.
Right. And, you know, my wife has never been to jail before. She's never been to jail, anything like that, right? And we went to a Dakota County Jail Resource Fair, and she was at the booth with me. And she got to see, as soon as I would tell these men and women where I had been, like, their whole demeanor changed.
Yeah.
Their whole demeanor is like, "Whoa, what's up?" And I'm shaking their hand, giving them a hug. Some of them recognize me from the time I was in there. And then when I go into the prisons, I tell people, I said, I can go speak to a church. I go speak to a recovery meeting. I can go speak to a detox. But y'all are my people.
Right.
Like, I walk in there and I'm comfortable there.
Yeah.
Y'all are my people. I love to go inside the walls of the prisons because I was an offender. I had an OID number. Right. And God has delivered me. I thought I was never going to stay out of prison. I thought I was so hopeless that I joined a prison gang to be comfortable inside a prison because, hey, this is my life. Right. My third time here. I'm not even 30 years old.
Right. It's like, almost like a badge of honor. It's
right.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Because that's why the body of Christ is so powerful, is because we all have these different areas that we can minister, and other people just can't do that. And God has gifted you to be able to do that. And I think that as you look at people that are coming out of prison now, are they different than they were 5-10 years ago, or are just people just people?
I think people are just people.
Maybe different problems, a different culture, but people are people.
Right. Yeah. There's those of us that have been caught and those of us that haven't. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's the truth. I just think it's people people being people.
Pastor Paul will be back with Phil Tyler in just a moment. You know, stories like Phil's are a part of a site called LifeSupportResources.org. One-to-one care videos and small group story-based curriculums about many topics surrounding incarceration, trauma, and grief. That's LifeSupportResources.org. And now back to Pastor Paul.
Like, I walk in there and I'm comfortable there.
Yeah.
Y'all are my people. I love to go inside the walls of the prisons because I was an offender. I had an OID number, right? And God has delivered me. I thought I was never going to stay out of prison. I thought I was so hopeless that I joined a prison gang to be comfortable inside a prison because, hey, this is my life, right? My third time here, I'm not even 30 years old.
Right. It's like, almost like a badge of honor. It's
right.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Because, and that's why the body of Christ is so powerful, is because we all have these different areas that we can minister, and other people just can't do that. And God has gifted you to be able to do that. And I think that as you look at people that are coming out of prison now, are they different than they were 5-10 years ago, or are just people just people?
I think people are just people.
Maybe different problems, a different culture, but people are people.
Right. Yeah. There's those of us that have been caught and those of us that haven't. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's the truth. I just think it's people people being people.
So how do you guard your heart and your marriage when you're, you know, you're dealing with some difficult things all the time? You know, you're basically pastoring people that are really struggling. You're talking to people who are struggling. How do you guard your heart in marriage?
Right. And, it's prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer life and being into the Word of God, staying connected with church community and mentors. I've had mentors ever since I'd first gotten out of prison, and I continue to keep mentors, to kind of, you know, just talk to and confess to. I think it's important that we confess our sins, because what happens is, you know, we sin, right? And then we hold it in and we don't confess. We just think that, you know what, it's all good. I'm going to confess to God. But when we confess to a community of people or our mentor, and, you know, it's a powerful thing, because we're showing some vulnerability.
Yeah.
We are launching a Christ-centered 12-step discipleship program with Grace Church in Chaska called Regeneration. And it is a powerful, it's what I like about that is it's for people in the church, because we all need Jesus to heal, right?
Yeah.
And it's discipleship. It's not just for those people going in the back door to the support group because they struggle with alcohol,
yeah,
or
that's
pornography.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they're always kind of going around the side.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Right? Yeah, come in here on Wednesday night.
Where's the group? I'm looking for the group.
Right.
And then it's funny when, and I've seen churches like this, and they have like a good program like Celebrate Recovery.
Yep.
And they invite the guys to come, and gals to come on Sunday morning.
Mm.
And then you walk in and they're all over kind of on the side of the lobby, and they're kind of looking over at the rest of the church people, and the church people are kind of looking over at them.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because there's just an obvious disconnect there.
Mm.
And to try to integrate that, you know, we're all going to have to work on that.
Right. Yep.
And so what you're doing is really important, and you're helping people to do that. So what do you see as the future of your ministry, Against the Odds Ministry? What do you want to accomplish?
Wow, that's a very, very hard question. We would like to see more people being discipled. We would like to see you know, kind of that open concept of the church, where there's more people being able to come into the church, and more people turning to God, right? We want more people to just focus on Jesus. With our sober house, we would like to connect with local churches in the community and orchestrate Bible studies, where, let's say, Westwood Community Church comes in on the second Wednesday of the month, Grace Church comes in on the third Sunday of every month, and this church comes in on the fourth Sunday of Wednesday,
sure,
of every month, right? And
mm-hmm.
and what we want to do is we want to connect people, the church community, with the people in the home, right?
Yeah.
The men in the home or the women in the home. We would like to be a recovery community organization in the community as well. Hopefully, getting an office space where we host services, where we host faith-based recovery meetings, where we host all recovery meetings, and kind of meet people where they're at, and still carry our Christian fundamentals in everything that we do, leading people to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So you have a good plan and a good vision to just keep expanding, basically, and get a headquarters and just keep doing what you're doing. What are your main challenges down in Frogtown? What kinds of things do you face there that can make ministry a challenge?
We're just down there once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually we have about 30 to 50 people show up once a month when we do the service. This month will be our year anniversary. We have a Christian rapper coming, True Serva. He's an amazing hip-hop artist.
I'm going to talk to my 17-year-olds and I'll get filled in on that name.
Yeah, True Serva.
They'll tell me.
He does a lot with Teen Challenge. I think he's the worship pastor or worship leader at Redeeming Love in St. Paul, or Maple, right off White Bear Avenue. But he's going to be leading us in a concert. But I don't. The challenge is for me to drive there because I live in Carver County, so it's a further trip.
Yeah,
right?
If you don't live here, it's a long way. Carver County is a county in Minnesota that seems like it's about 100 miles long. You know, like you have a thunderstorm warning in Carver County and your phones all go off and the thing can be 50 miles away from you. It's a big place. So just getting there is a challenge for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's doing pretty well, and I don't think the challenges are just, you know, where do we go next? So we've talked to people with Westwood, and, you know, God's plan isn't addition, it's multiplication.
That's right.
Right? So we're working on cropping up some leaders for the one in St. Paul so we can start meeting in Carver County as well with New Creation Recovery Church, kind of take that same model. And like you said, planting churches.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, if you wanted to try to do some more churches like that. But you're right, you have to raise up leaders, and you've got to then let go. Mm-hmm. And both of those are hard to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard for others to let you let it go, because they're coming because they love God or want to learn more about God, but they're also following you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they have to let you go as well.
Yep.
But it's definitely worth the effort, because you can only do so much on your own. And when you multiply, you can do so much more. And I wish more churches in the United States were planting. I think I read a statistic where there's only 1% of churches in the United States that are intentionally planting other churches.
Mm.
And considering the fact that churches are in decline and closing at a faster rate than they're being planted, I would encourage you just to follow through on that dream and don't give up on that. Because that's important stuff. All right, let's get back to the ministry now. So if I go to Against the Odds Ministry, what kinds of resources can I find there?
You can find information on our recovery church. You can find information on our recovery meeting. We also have some other support groups on our events calendar, like peer circles and just a few other things. And we're working on getting the reentry breakfast on there so we can help with that, promote that as well. You can reach out to us. You can get yourself a free Life Recovery Bible on there, on our ATO store page. We give out Life Recovery Bibles. You can connect with us if you need resources for anything. We also work with like Lost Sheep Ministries, Dave Johnson, who if you need a ride to treatment, we're going to call him, or we're looking for an open bed. We're going to partner with other ministries to try to get you the help that you need. We don't have the Sober House up and running yet, but that will be on the website soon. You'll be able to get an application for that to get in our Sober House, things like that.
What if I'm listening right now and I'm not sure I have a problem, but I think I might have a problem. Is it worth getting online and finding out and contacting you?
Yeah, definitely is, to just talk it out. It's always good, and you know, it's always good to talk about what you're going through in life. It's always good to talk to somebody. We do have our phone number on there. We have our email address. We have a mailing address as well. And we also have a link to connect to our Facebook page and group. And that's where we do live streams Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. We do a devotional. We read out of the Daily Bread, kind of something I used to do when I'd go to jail. Mm-hmm. I'd read out of the Daily Bread, and I'd read out of the Gideon's Bible, whatever the Bible they had in jail was. I used to have a little Gideon's that you put it in the top of your jumpsuit, right?
Yeah.
Run around with it like it was a wallet. And I always would put it to the side when I got out. Right. But this time I didn't do that. I continued to do that. There were some points in my life where I'd, you know, the Bible would sit on the shelf, but then the Lord had convicted me. And, you know, now I just feel that, you know, we have to feed the Spirit every day. Whatever we feed is going to be stronger. And at first, feeding the Spirit can be uncomfortable because we're not used to it. But when we start to continue to feed that Spirit and continue to deny that flesh, because we're at a war, right?
Yeah, we're in a war. Yeah. And the Daily Bread's been popular for so long. It's helped so many people. That's the one publication, like, if it doesn't come in on time or you don't have it displayed correctly, it's like, where's the Daily Bread? Where's the Daily Bread? You know, they'll come after you. Like, they want the Daily Bread. They want it now.
That's right.
But it's meant a lot to a lot of people. So what is the website address?
ATOministries.org.
Okay.
Yep. ATOministries.org is our website. Our social media platforms are the @ ATO Ministries. And we are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. But TikTok's very tough for me, but we're on there, right? We want to.
As long as we have it, you might as well use it.
Right. We're on there. I try.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Phil Tyler, thanks so much for being here, and congratulations on your ministry, and thanks for doing that good work. Appreciate it very much.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
And you know what? We talked about people that are really struggling, and maybe you're at a place where you think, you know, wow, I haven't been through addiction. I haven't been to prison. And I'm still feeling like there's something missing in my life, or I feel like there's something out of sorts, or my relationship with my wife or my husband isn't the way it should be. You know what? You don't have to have been to prison to reach out and get help. There are people around you that want to help you. You have a pastor nearby. You have friends you can reach out to. But it does take some vulnerability to say, I'm struggling, I do need help. And you may find that God will use the people around you in a really significant way. And maybe then you'll be directed to a website like Phil was just talking about, an organization that has great resources for you. So don't suffer alone. You know, don't pretend everything's okay if you're not feeling okay inside. Reach out, and God is waiting to help you, because there's no doubt He loves you. We know that for a fact. Hey, thanks for listening to our program today. Life Support thanks our many sponsors, Faith Radio at myfaithradio.com. They've been terrific. Not only are we here on KTIS, but our podcasts live on their website, and so you can just go back and listen to any episode that you'd like. You can also watch any of our video podcasts, and this is all being done on video, at fivestonemedia.com. And you can check us out here at Ridgewood Church as well at myrwc.org. And thank you so much for listening to Life Support.
Thanks for listening to this Life Support podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Life Support, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of Life Support.